I come from Oreesburg. If you don't know where that is, well, we'll just have to wait after church and come and speak to me regarding that. Sorry, I have to actually log in. Yeah, my parents still live there. And those are the parents, or we all have something, our parents that we have seen in our lifetimes that we understand or recognize about them, but I don't know two more disciplined people than my parents. That comes with the good and the bad of rules, but disciplined in the sense that putting their needs aside. That's the good area where I could always see that their own desires, their own wants, always took a back burner. It was never a priority. My mother is a nurse. She was one for 40 years. She stopped in February, but then started again because the place needed her again. But she's been a nurse for 40 years. She's worked harder in her life than I would ever. I'm not just talking about like the effort, the physical effort, but the hours. She's like 65 years. She works like for 15, 14-hour days, picking up old people, bathing them, cleaning them. Those of you who have not been into an old age home, old people are not the easiest people to deal with. And she's been doing that for her life. And that is the mother that and father that God has given me. And he said, yes, you are the best parents for this son of mine. And each parent has a desire for his child. Like as I'm a parent as well, and you're trying to teach your children stuff. Like the most basic thing is they don't have any protocol. They don't know how to act or what to do with something. If I now give them Johan's guitar, they will see no difference between that guitar and one that is 50 rand worth. They have no understanding of value. And those things must be taught. A father and a mother, Karin and myself, we're going through discipline. This year is the year of discipline for my children. And I'm going through the same things over and over and over and over. And I don't want to extend it, but I'm over and over. I have to say the same things to my children because they don't get it. Unfortunately, my children don't get obedience very well. The thing that I require or ask of them, that I don't want stories when I ask something of you. I want you to act like Samuel did. When God called him, he didn't say, wait, I'm playing my PS3 game. I just want to finish that. He said, praat, Here, ek luister. There's an immediate obedience in what Samuel did that I believe that that God gave him, like there was a special liberty there, because I'm not seeing that essentially with my kids. But as parents, we are constantly teaching our children, speaking to them over and over and over about things that we deem important. Because we want them to live healthy lives. We want them to flourish, I think. You want your child to live like a three-year-old daughter should live. Have the protection, have the food, have the the things that they need, but not be bound to or forced to do in a certain way. And in a sense, that's what I feel God has been speaking to us as a church too. God has been, or I think it's almost 5-6 weeks ago now, God has been speaking about us going low. Retief has been consistently speaking about going low, about the way Jesus did it, the servant king. How Jesus did things. His way was the first message, where Jesus takes off his robe and washes feet. And Jesus comes and he said, I've set to you an example that you should do as I've done. And it's not so much about washing feet as it is about laying aside your robe. Recognizing there's an opportunity to serve someone. And then we see the next message was, as he did, Jesus the servant king. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Once again, Jesus is coming or speaking to us through Retief, and he says, that what you want your wife to do, turn it around. Get perspective, like Karen said. It's not so much about what you want her to do, but are you serving her in a loving way? Are you serving her as one with authority? That you are, like Jesus said, before he started washing feet, he says, because he knew where he was coming from and that the Father has given all things to him, from that knowledge of ultimate authority, therefore, he could take off his robe and serve. The man who had all authority could serve with freedom. And then Retief spoke about like sheep. Jesus compares our love for him is to be displayed in loving the least of these brothers. James 2 says, faith apart from works are dead. And when you go to these go low messages, it's a father speaking to his children over and over, telling us just from different angles, this is what I want you to do. Me asking Elaine, respond. If I ask you something, I want you to do it. And God is speaking to us as a church. Because the very same message that God gave to me is in John 10 verse, it's not there, 17. And it says, because of this reason, the Father loves me. I lay down my life for the sheep, and I take it up again. Once again, we will be looking at Jesus, what he did, and what we can now do. That there is a freedom to do what Jesus did because he wants us to do this. He is the good Father wanting us to act in a way that displays his heart for the world. But whilst we're speaking about Jesus and what his heart is for us, we are also entering into Passover. And what image, like Stephen, what image about Passover is the most, what image about, when you think of this image, it reminds you of Passover? And yes. No. Like if you think of what image, like if somebody tells you Passover, what do you think about? Of Passover. Okay, he says it's the palm trees that the people laid down before. I have never thought of that, to be honest. What do you think about it? That's my wife as well. She throwed a Easter egg at me and says, take this to the people. Anyway. Kunrad, yeah? The cross. Who thinks about the empty grave? What does the empty grave signify, Rolf? It's almost like the freedom that we spoke about. Because the only reason that we can be here today is because the grave is empty. The blood was spilt, the ransom was paid, the price for us was dealt with on the cross. We need that blood. Because without the innocent lamb being slaughtered, there was no Passover. We would not have been passed over. We would have been found guilty. Just like the Israelites many years ago. The reason they were saved from the angel of death? Because of the blood. So the blood is there to cover us. But the empty grave speaks of the victory over eternal death. There is no longer, we are no longer slaves. We are no longer slaves. We are free. We are eternally sons of God and daughters of God. But our Savior, as we see Jesus Christ, is also our shepherd. Jesus has a lot of I am phrases. I am the bread of life. I am the way. I am the truth. And one of his I am is he's our shepherd. And we see in John 10 that the shepherd, it's by his death, or before it happens, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them in as well, and they will listen to my voice. Just raise your hand. If you have a hand, just raise it at this moment. Okay. All of us are in his fold because Jesus died for us. Without Jesus' death, we are not Jews. Unfortunately, we are not Jews. We cannot claim the covenant. But God, through his faithfulness, grafted this wild, die wille loot, this word in, has been graved into the olive branch, so that we can receive the riches of the olive tree. And part of what happens is when we are part of the flock, we are suddenly around a lot of people that we are that God requires us to be close to. I just want to, maybe can you show that picture? Because we've got an idea of a shepherd. Just if you have an idea of a shepherd, have even if you've seen a shepherd? Okay, shepherding in South Africa works very differently to the Middle East. Or even to when Jesus says he's a shepherd, he did not speak about his sheepdog and him. He did not do that. Or his bucky and or his AR quad bike and himself. No, he was speaking of that man and the sheep. This is a picture of a Middle Eastern shepherd leading his sheep. pretty amazing. If it's not as simple to pick that up, but the shepherd is speaking the whole time. Because the sheep know his voice. And earlier this morning, whilst we were in intercession, we spoke about the fold, coming into the fold. And like you saw there, none of those sheep looked the same. None of them had to act the same. Like the coming into the fold is not about conformity. It's not about losing God and who you are. We are who you are. Like you're not losing your identity when you're coming into the fold, into the flock. You get a shepherd. You now have a new direction. You no longer do your own thing. And we have a, much like we sang, we can now walk over a road with cars passing by, and we will not get hit because the shepherd takes care of us. We can walk through dry ground. We can walk on dry ground because the waters will stop. When we become part of the flock, we enter the fold, and the fold, it speaks of like an enclosure. Jesus says he is the gate. So we enter through him, and he says, if anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will come in and go out and find pasture. We see that, okay, that was not a picture of pasture that we just saw, but as the flock, the shepherd's primary goal is to find us, to keep us safe, and to feed us. So the fold is a place of safety. And then there's also the pasture, where we see in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And these are almost the two easy things that we like. We want to hear we are safe. We want to hear that we will go amongst green pastures. We will have only good tidings. Well, it seemed we didn't have good tidings, because as we started this today, there was a lot of people who were under severe pressure. But we see, not only does the flock stay within the fold and is in the green pastures, but the flock gets attacked. There are attacks on the flock. And John 10, verse 11 to 13 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, and the sheep are not his own. When he sees the wolf coming, we will be confronted with attacks. Unfortunately, we are not spared attacks. But much like Thea gave the testimony, we will not smell of smoke. God will protect us. He says, when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf pounces on them and scatters the flock. The man runs away because he's a hired servant and is unconcerned for the sheep. So part of what we must recognize when attacks come is, are you being scattered? Are you isolated? Because that's what the wolf would like to do. In a pack, there's in that when the fold is in unity, there's strength there. Because we are following the sheep. But when we are scattered, we are isolated. And are you isolated when the attack comes? Because when you're isolated, you don't have the word, or you maybe forget the word, I am free. The words that Karen said, I'm a daughter of the beloved King. He is my good portion. I have no good thing besides him. We forget those words when we are alone and under attack and isolated. And we see that the sheep gets led astray. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way." And we see in Luke 15, Jesus' heart for the sheep that went astray. Because I remember I came to Christ, or I gave my life to Him when I was 16. But from 16 to 25, there was a period where I went astray, where I went astray for a very long time. But He left the 99. And you see that they are actually part of, they were safe. He did not leave the 99 and did not care for them. He left them safe to go and find me. And God plucked me from desperation. In the weirdest place, in Stellenbosch. Okay, maybe it's not strange to you. I thought of Stellenbosch as the Kaier capital of Cape Town. So for me it was a bit strange. For Demi it was Bible school, it seems. Anyway, but we see that we're part of the flock, and there's good and bad things about the flock. We are in the fold where we are protected, and He leads us to green pastures. But attacks come, and we sometimes get distracted. The sheep wanders off. And the reason why I started this sermon that I did with regards to my mother and my father and my children, wanting to imprint this very thing that I want from them, is we as parents want our children not to make the mistakes we are. Our perspective is a bit better than our 3 and 4 year old children, or even our elder, like since some of you have got very older children, much older children, and even their perspective isn't as clear as Johan's perspective now. They can't see the things Karen can see. They're still stuck. There's things that they are, and I think that is what God, in a sense, is saying to us as well as a church through this go low thing. It's not that I want to hammer on the same thing, but there's a thing that we must get. I want you to grasp this key. And instead of today talking about what we must do, I want to speak about why can Jesus ask these things of us? What qualifies our shepherd to ask us to lay down our life for our brother and sister? What gives Christ the right to ask this of us? Because if He has legal right, if He has the authority, if He has displayed this through His own life, that what He asks us in much greater terms, and God is pleased with Him, then He has authority to ask that of His children as well. Much like we as parents want our children to obey, to listen, to agree. Okay, so I'm just quickly going to go to, I don't want to spend the whole sermon here, but we need to know why God is good. Why our shepherd is a good shepherd. And what He asks of us is not heavy. He doesn't want you to do stuff. He wants you to believe, to have faith that when He asks me, like I went to Obed not too long ago. And I saw like Obed, they moved into a new place, and it's like the place is like there's still a few odds and ends that might require some fixing. Oh, there you are. Sorry. And I thought, hey, I can get like plugs, just coverings over the plugs. I thought about it, and that's it. I have not done anything about this thinking. And it's not about saying, oh God, now have I forgotten? Oh, there's weight on me. No, I want to bless Obed. God wants me to lay just my 15 minutes aside, go to build it, or maybe phone build it, Obed first and say, what color do you like? And then go to build it and buy it. And maybe I'll put it up. But it's a requirement that is based on love. And I've seen it in our cell. People laying down their lives. Nettie and Arena. People laying down their lives. Setting their own needs aside. And it's not, and I've never experienced those people that do it as of compulsion. Because we see, when we speak about the Passover, it is a willing sacrifice that Jesus gave. He willingly did this. He willingly gave up. He willingly died. He willingly said, God, what you want to do, I'll set aside my needs. I set aside my glory. I'll set aside the heavenly realm to go to earth. So why is Jesus the Good Shepherd? Well, first of all, He owns us. Let's go a bit back to the first one. John 10 verse 12. He's busy making a comparison between Him and a hired servant. And He says, the hired hand is not the shepherd. He's a false shepherd. He's imperfect. And the sheep are not His own. Owns us. We are His. It says, nothing was made that was made without Christ. So we were made through Him and for Him. And He owns us. You can have like a dog tag, I think. Anyway, but the second one is He knows us and wants to be known. Just with that picture of the sheep that's walking. You can see that sheep, I don't even think they're looking at the danger. They're just listening to the voice and seeing where the shepherd is walking and following him, because they're not trying to make, okay, can I run the red robot now? Is there a zebra streep where I can loop? They're not trying to figure out how to cross the road on their own. They're following the voice of the shepherd. They know the shepherd's voice. But more importantly, Christ knows us. Like all those sheep, it's not about conformity. It's not about looking the same or acting the same as Stephen or Thea or Emmy. It's not about the same. It's about the relationship. The father-son relationship. Daughter-father relationship. And He loves us. Besides Him owning us and knowing us and want to be known, He truly loves us. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The shepherd decides to go confront danger. The shepherd doesn't shy away from danger. In fact, he puts his own life at risk for our safety. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. Jesus didn't just speak love. He lived it. It was visible. And we see that the shepherd, before he protects us from temporary danger. And you'll see why I compare that to eternal danger. But the scripture here is one of David when he spoke to Saul, and he says, "Your servant was tending the father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb from the flock," we know that pouncing of the wolf, he took the flock, one of the flock, "I went after him and attacked him and rescued him from his mouth." This is our good shepherd. When there is attack, he doesn't shy away. He protects us. The man runs away because he's a hired servant and unconcerned for the sheep. Jesus doesn't run away because he is concerned for the sheep. He loves the sheep. And we see he protects us from eternal danger. In Isaiah 53, verse 10 and 11 says, "The Lord says, it was my will," this is God speaking, "it was my will that he should suffer. His death was a sacrifice to bring forgiveness." The blood brings forgiveness. We are free. "And so he will see his descendants." All those hands that we saw. "He will live a long life, and through him my purpose will succeed. After a life of suffering, he will again have joy. He will know that he did not suffer in vain for the joy that was set before him." He was crucified, or he went to the cross. "My devoted servant, with whom I am pleased," we see the words of the Father, "will bear the punishment of many, and for his sake I will forgive them." Eternal danger. We are eternally safe now. Not just from the pouncing wolf, but from eternal damnation. We are safe. And then just lastly, regarding the good shepherd, is he willingly became a slave. In the Old Testament, we see the picture of a slave. There's the year of, I think it's the year of Jubilee, but like after 6 years, a man must let his slave go on the seventh year. But if the slave then decides, "I want to stay, I'll rather be with this man or this woman, be their servant," they become a bond servant. And literally, they, it speaks of their ear being nailed to the doorpost. It's a very strange thing, but literally the guy's ear gets nailed to the doorpost of our heart, and he's stuck there. Like, it's a public thing for the people to see as this man's ear is nailed to the doorpost for the people. But this man chooses to be a bond servant to this man. Christ chose to be a bond servant to God's work. Willingly. He said, "I will willingly give up glory." The darling of heaven willingly gave up the seat of heaven to become a slave for God. Philippians 2 verse 6 to 8 says, "Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross." Passover. The darling of heaven. It's amazing there. Peter wants to fight there on the mount where they come and attack him. And Peter wants to go all guns blazing and protect Jesus. And Jesus with all authority says, "Do you not think that I cannot ask my Father to send legions?" Or I think it was Pilate. I can't remember. I think it's to Pilate. Oh no, but anyway. Jesus speaks of, there's a relationship with God where he knows God will protect him. But at this point, he must set aside his safety. He must set aside his needs and willingly become a slave to God's purposes, so that our Savior can become our Good Shepherd. And I believe that that was just five or six things about the Good Shepherd. Who gives, what gives Jesus the right to come and ask us to love those who, the least of the brothers, to lay down your life for your brother? I believe Jesus is coming to came and showed us with very clear and visible ways why he has authority to ask these things of us, because he did it first. He did it for us. He did it to us. He continuously does it. He is the only one, like the word that Scripture says, he lays down his life for the sheep and takes it up again. He did not stop becoming a shepherd to the 12. In fact, when he was raised from the dead, he became a shepherd to us all. So there's one shepherd and one flock. There's one shepherd and there's one flock. But we must trust him like those sheep. We must not be concerned about the cars coming towards us, about the hordes running towards us, about the frustration that we are experiencing, the tension, the constant pressure, like you feel like there's a vice, like you're in a vice almost, and it's just being tightened. We can trust him because he has not left us alone. The very things that I ask my daughter to do that she's unable to do, I'm helping them. I haven't like sent them like an email. Hey Elaine, as papa praat moet jy antwoord. No, I'm going through like this. It's like literally it's a weekly thing. There's like I have songs. We've got a Wat en Waar song. We've got the next song will start next month. But anyway, there's like songs we've got scenarios where we say when we are at the swimming school, wat doen ons daar? Waar en wat? We like, so God is like, as a parent, I'm a fallible parent, and yet I give tools to my daughter to help her. How much more would God not give us tools? In fact, he has given us the ultimate tool or help, and that is his Holy Spirit. John 14 verse 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you. So when I'm driving past Build It, just remember, Obed. I will remember Obed. So, and it does not just give us the Holy Spirit and then we must now try and figure this out. Because what I've come to find is it, as though the gospel is, the simplicity of the gospel is the good news. It is, the gospel is not difficult to understand to those who believe, but working out our salvation is sometimes difficult to understand. And therefore, the helper that we need is, we need a loving father, a loving mother to run to. And in Hebrews 4 verse 15 it says, for we do not have a high priest. A priest is just also another word for a servant. When God gives us priestly function, it's the function of a husband. It's a priestly function, is one to serve. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way that we are, yet was without sin. So we have a father or a shepherd who's able to see far ahead. That the things that we struggle with at this moment, the things that I'm unable to do, oh yeah, I'm struggle. I'm busy learning Bach's Minuet, and it's kind of difficult, and I don't have the most patience in the world, but so now you have to go through this process of your, anyway, just go, it's a piano piece, Bach's Minuet, and Karin said yesterday, now whilst practicing, Elaine came to her and says, ek dink papa sukkel 'n bietjie. Yes, because I was sickling a bit. I was really sickling. And I will continue to sickle until I play this piece. But there's a sickling, or there's a struggling that we are going through in our sanctification process. I would like this finger, this weird one, to always be at the right, but it doesn't go. It doesn't go there. I can confront this finger in the name of Jesus, like yesterday almost. I spoke to this finger, and yet it did not surrender. That's a silly exercise, but it's actually, sometimes we feel like stuff won't surrender. Stuff won't surrender. I'm constantly battling these things, and it's not surrendering. But He has lived a life where He has shown us what to do. And He has told us that I will not leave you alone. I will give you somebody to help you. Petri will have a video with a guy showing him how to play this thing. And he will give me time so that I can learn this thing. And he's able to sympathize. If I lose it, he will say, come, try again. You are not alone. And much like the minuet, sometimes our sanctification, we feel like, this is too difficult, God. I know, can I maybe share? Demi is going through like a tussling, like a contending. She's contending with this thing God has shown her. And in that contention, very often we're like confronted, is this worth it? Should I continue? Like this week again, like in my preparation for this message, there was a lack of contention in the spirit. And I was like, God, why? Why am I missing this? Am I the daughter or the son who's unable to get this? Will this pinky just never do the right thing? And we say those words and we speak it, and then we say, but should I speak it? And it's not simple. But we just have to look at Scripture, and it says in Deuteronomy 30:11, and I speak this over you, Demi. For this command which I command you today is not too difficult for you. The things God asks of us, it's not too difficult for us. Nor is it out of reach. It's not impossible. Whatever you are facing that feels impossible, it's not impossible. It's not out of reach. Because you have a Holy Spirit and a high priest who can sympathize. And he says, it is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it? For us to make us hear it, that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it? For us to make us hear it, that we may observe it. But like that shepherd, the word is very near to you. He's walking right in front of you, the Word. In your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. It's close. It's at hand. And just as we, you know, this is actually the words that Stephen prayed. As Jesus says in John 13, verse 15, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. And it's not about washing Philip's feet. Now stopping him and say, wait, Philip, I must wash your feet. It's about applying the same principle. Like, do you know what Karen is going through? Or Andri? Like, are you willing to maybe speak to Andri just after the service? Beyond the hi, how are you? What do you do? Can we wait to see like roots? To see what is deeper? Because unfortunately, we need to be able to look deeper. Christ in heaven came to earth and he had no job. Yet he laid down his life for 3 years. He invested in 12 men. He poured himself out. He was emptied like a drink offering. So that his servants, so that the disciples could see him. He was visible, like literally, they were always in his eyesight, knowing that these are the men that will be the foundation on which you and I build. We stand on Christ's work. It was by love, the object of the cross, the object of Jesus' sacrifice is us. You cannot divorce you, your life, from the fact that you are saved from love. It is because of love Jesus died. It's because of his love for the Father. And therefore, as I end off, there's nothing I can add to the messages Retief has said or what God is speaking to this church about going low, humbling yourself and washing people's feet, taking off your robe, not being concerned with the robes they are wearing, being like sheep, visiting to those who are in the prisons, giving feed to the needy. But what I was confronted with, I didn't put that scripture in the slides because I felt there might be a condemning thing, and I just wanted, it was just a fear that I had in my heart, is what if God says that if you see a brother in need and you have the means to help him and you don't, is the love of God in you? That's a terrifying scripture. Because it calls us to act. It calls us to not just throw a blind eye to what we see, but if we have seen, we must act. But I want you not to be focused so much on acting. I must buy. I must fix. I must now help. We have looked at why Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He is qualified, able, and willing to ask these things of us because he has lived it. And like a father and a mother speaking to their children, there's Johan and their daughter. Like that relationship is bonded, like it's, we know each other. Ja, ma. I've heard also by my lewe gesê, ja, ma. My children will probably also say, ja, ma. But because we've heard the same things. But I want you to be concerned with the Good Shepherd. He has the authority to ask of you to lay down your life. To love your brother. And we're seeing God the Father speaking to us now. Over. over and over. I'm sorry I'm going on, but we must get it. It is not so much about what you do, but it's about who you listen to. Because God will speak to you. Because there's need all around us. People we can serve. Just before I end off in prayer, is there, like, if you just think of, just turn around and look at people in this church. Just turn around where you sit now, and look at other people. Okay, do you recognize somebody that has a need? Hello, I don't know your name. What's your name? Jeanette. Hi, Jeanette. But if do you recognize somebody that has a need? Who here, can I see hands? Okay, but beside the new people. But who here sees somebody that has a need? Can I see hands? Okay. Can I pray for us to give us the boldness to live like Jesus did? God, you opened our eyes, Lord. You help us see. You confront our failing hearts, Lord. And God, we want to be obedient sons and daughters. Because you have set us free, Lord. This morning, God, we yelled, freedom! Because we are free, Lord. From eternal suffering. We are free from having to. We are free from religion. We are free from must. We are free, Lord. And therefore we can be free to love people the way you loved us, Lord. The way the Good Shepherd loved us. And God, those hands, Lord, that went up, that saw the need, those eyes and those hearts that saw the need. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, Lord, they will do it because you will help them do it. And you will be with them, Lord, like the shepherd, as they do it, Lord. As they lay down their life, like you did, Lord. Amen.